Thank you, dear brothers and sisters, for this time of worship and praise. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is the conqueror. The Lord is our strength. He is our victory. And it's always good for us Christians to sing it with our hearts, to find in the Word of God and in the lyrics of the Psalms the strength, this truth that gives us what we need to move on in the faith with victory. Hallelujah. Today we want to hear God's Word, and I would like to invite you in a short time of prayer to commit this moment in the hands of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. You have given us once again the opportunity to learn from your Word, the Word of life, the Word of wisdom. Lord, we pray that as we deliver this message, you will be the one speaking to our hearts. You will be the one reaching out to us. You will be the one meeting our needs, our spiritual needs, our physical needs, our needs as a nation, our need as a church, our needs as family, our needs as individuals. Lord, I pray that you will also meet my needs, and you will speak to all of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today's message is entitled, Fighting in Victory. Fighting in Victory. And I would like to read with you the main text that is taken from the book of Judges. We're going to read Judges chapter 7, and I'm going to do the reading from verse 1 to verse 7. Judges chapter 7, from verse 1 to verse 7. I'll read. And Jerubbaal, who is called Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the army of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And Jehovah said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel boast themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore, speak in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and go away early from the Mount of Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and there remained 10,000. And Jehovah said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will separate them from you there. It shall be that of whom I say to you, this shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this shall not go with you, the same shall not go with you. And he brought down the people to the water, and Jehovah said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set him apart. Also, everyone who bows down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And Jehovah said to Gideon, I will save you by the 300 men who laughed and will deliver the Midianite into your hand. And let all the other people go, each man to his place. This is God's word. So if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you probably know that since the first day you became, since the first day Jesus Christ became your Savior and your Master, you have been engaged in a battle, in a fight, and it's a spiritual fight, a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. Because the gospel is also a story of overcoming evil by the means of non-violence. So the New Testament, which is the second greatest part of the Bible, the New Testament, which is also the covenant that binds God and all the believers of Jesus Christ, is full of statements that support the fact that Christians, believers, disciples of Jesus, are truly engaged in a battle. When we consider the words of the Apostle Paul to his disciple Timothy, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, he says, this charge I commit to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before about you, in order that you might war a good warfare by them. Paul is using the words war and warfare, which indicate a fight, a battle. And in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, he says, for we, when he says we the believers, the disciples of Jesus Christ, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we see from these words in the New Testament that believers are engaged in a battle which is spiritual in nature. And our own experience today as Christians shows that spiritual fight and battle is part of our everyday life. Every day we face opposition in the spiritual realm. Let's just consider a few examples. If you are a husband and you want to be a Christian husband, you want to apply the leadership model that Jesus Christ laid to his disciples in the upper room before his crucifixion, if you want to apply this model of leadership by washing the feet of your wife in the presence of your parents and of your siblings, imagine the response that you will get. It's not probably going to be a peaceful one. If you are a wife and you try to submit to your husband as the Bible teaches, imagine the response you will get from your friends or from your colleagues who believe in gender equality. If you are a civil servant You have been given the task of serving the citizens of your country. And you just try to resist bribes and kickbacks. Imagine the response you will get from your supervisors, from your colleagues. If you are a leader of an organization, let's say a church or an NGO, a company, a school, and you just try to demonstrate and demand transparency, integrity in financial management, imagine the response you will get from your coworkers. So you see, we are all engaged in a battle. We face this adversity every day in our Christian life. As a Christian, I will even say, if you don't face any opposition as you try to live your Christian life, if you don't face any resistance, any adversity, there are chances that you might be living a Satan's version of Christianity. So Christians, true Christians, battle, struggle, wage war every day, every single day. It can be on the road as you are driving. You will face opposition if you try to go by the law. But the good news is, yes, there is a good news. The good news is, as disciples of Jesus, we do not fight in order to gain a victory. We do fight, but we fight in victory. We do not fight in order to gain victory, but we fight in victory. Romans chapter 8 verse 37 says, but in all these things, we Christians, we disciples of Jesus, we believers of Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. We more than conquer through Him who is Christ, who loved us. Hallelujah. We are conquerors. We are even more than conquerors. And the story of Gideon that we have read in Judges chapter 7 is a very good example, a very good illustration of the kind of fight we are engaged in and how God sees us. He sees you and I as conquerors. Hallelujah. We are not just fighters, but we are conquerors. Why? Because victory is ours. We are fighting not because we want to gain victory, but we are fighting in victory. And the story of Gideon is full of lessons. It's really full of lessons, and I want to share with you just a few of them. First of all, the story of Gideon teaches us that in our spiritual fight, in our spiritual battles, we are not alone. We are not alone. God leads the fight. The fight you are facing, the fight you are engaged in as a Christian, the opposition that you are facing, because you are trying to live your Christian life following the model of Jesus Christ, the opposition you are facing against your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that fight, that war you are waging, remember, God leads the fight and you are not alone. God is the commander in chief. He is the one who leads the fight. And how does He do it? Let's see when we consider Judges chapter 7, we can see in verse 2, in verse 4, in verse 7, and even in verse 9, each time we read, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord commanded, the Lord instructed. You see, it is the Lord who is giving instruction. He is the one who leads the fight. He knows where He leads us. He gives us His word. He gives Gideon His instruction in the fight, because He knows the outcome of the fight. He knows the right strategies to follow. He knows the weakness of the enemy. He has all the information. He has access to where you don't have access. He has all the answers. Sometimes it is not important that we understand everything. Sometimes it is not important that we have the entire picture. Sometimes it's just important we trust the one who leads the fight. The Lord leads the fight. And you and I are not alone in this fight. That's the first lesson I want to get from this text. And I hope this can encourage you in the fight that you are engaged in, as you strive to live according to your master. Second lesson is that the victory of this battle, the victory of this fight, does not depend on the amount of people supporting us. When you look at the story of Gideon, you can see that Gideon started with thousands, an army of thousands, ten thousands. But in the end, Gideon engaged into the battle with only 300 men. And this was the result of Gideon following the instructions of God Himself, the Lord of hosts. So we can see the victory of this battle that we are engaged in does not depend on the amount of people supporting us, backing us. Because sometimes we're in our Christian faith, when we are facing opposition, we want to feel supported by the brothers and sisters in the faith. We want to feel that we are not, yes, the value that we are defending, the things that we are holding on, the demands of our faith, the demands of holiness. We want to feel like we are not the only one doing these things. We want to feel some kind of support, and it is legitimate. But remember, the most important is not how many people are with you in your battle. The most important is who is leading the battle. Who is leading the battle? Because your strength is not in the amount of people who are with you. Your strength is in the one who is leading you. Because He is the one who holds the victory. The Bible, as sometimes we sing here, that Jesus holds the victory crowns, the victory crown. And this is true. And we see it when Gideon engaged in the battle with 300 men, he's able to come back from the battle with a total victory. Hallelujah. Third and last lesson is that the victory of the battle that we are engaged in is not the result of our struggle. It is not a victory that we earn because we fought. It is not a victory that we earn because we have fasted, we have prayed, we have done a lot of effort. No. That victory over the principalities, over the evil powers that wage war against us, that victory is given.
Hallelujah. That victory is given. We see it in Judges chapter 7 verse 9. This is what God says to Gideon. That night, this is what the Bible says, that night, the Lord commanded Gideon, get up and attack the camp. I am giving you victory over it. In some versions of the Bible, it says, I have given you. It said in the past, I have given you. So the victory in this battle, we have it even before we start fighting. And that is the beauty of being a disciple of Jesus. Because the Lord leads us. The Lord does not lead us in places of uncertainties. No. He leads us in places where He has already secured a place for us. He has already secured our victory. The psalmist could say, He leads me in green pastures. And He sets in front of me a table. He sets a table in front of my enemies. He grants me victory. He has given me victory even before I start fighting. That's the kind of Lord, the kind of God that we serve. So I don't know my sister, my mother. I don't know my brother or my father. What kind of battle you are fighting? I don't know the intensity of the struggle you are in. I don't know the kind of fight, the nature, the shape of it. But one thing I know, if this battle is a battle because of your faith, if this battle is a battle because you want to stay faithful to your Lord, remember, you are not alone in this battle. Remember, the Lord leads the battle. And because the Lord leads this battle, your victory does not depend on the amount of people who are with you. Victory only depends on the one who is leading you. And remember, your victory is not to come. Your victory is already given. You are fighting in victory. Because the Bible says, we read it in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. I pray that these words will encourage you in your faith. I pray that the Lord will help you see the beauty of living and of waging this war. And I pray that the Lord will put on your mouth a song of praise in Jesus' name. Amen.